We sang just now, the darling of heaven crucified, worthy is the Lamb. And that's going to be very much our theme this morning as we're going to reflect upon the cross and the humility of Jesus, the sheer evil that he had to face, and the great victory that was won at Calvary, and why we celebrate the cross. A bizarre thing to do in the eyes of the world. It symbolizes defeat, but we know that it was a great, great victory. So let's just pray again. Lord, we just pray that you would open our hearts. Forgive us our sins, which are many, Lord. Create in us a clean heart and put a new and right spirit within us, O Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts from your word. We thank you that you are the great God and Saviour who we come to worship and adore. And we pray you'd lift up our hearts into heavenly places this morning as we look upon you, the great Lamb of God. We thank you. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here, and by any stretch of the imagination, a gross miscarriage of justice. When we look at Jesus, and we know Jesus from the Gospels, an innocent man who was condemned to death. Now we know as believers, it's a far greater picture, a far greater battle, a far greater dynamic that is going on here. But here we have a man. What had he done? What was his accusers accusing him of that deserve such a horrible, horrible death on the cross? Well, we learnt last Sunday he was a man who turned water into wine at a wedding. Is that something that he should be condemned to death? We learned 2 or 3 weeks ago when Eric Stiller was with us about a man who spoke words of life to a woman at a well, who brought healing and salvation to her and to her acquaintances and to her family. We read about Jesus going around healing the sick. We read about Jesus casting out demons, confronting evil and being supreme. We read about him raising his friend Lazarus from the dead. We read about him quelling the storm. Peace be still. Are these things that deserve the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, to be condemned to death in a most horrible and humiliating way? We read about a man who taught people and taught them good things. Maybe the worst thing he'd done could be accused of abuse when he whipped the dishonest money changers. Maybe that, but a crime worthy of death in a cross. I don't think so. Good Friday was a gross miscarriage of justice. And from the world's point of view, you'd say, why is this Good Friday? Surely this is Bad Friday. This is a bad day in the history of the world. And we may ask, why is the world like this? Why is the world so full of evil and of crime? You know, we look back at the horrors of last century, 2 major world wars and continuing wars, and we think, you know, why is the world like this? I just looked at the news this morning, and I'll read something out to you that just asks the question, why is the world like this? After days of relentless shelling and sniper attacks, thousands of Syrian refugees streamed across the border into Turkey with horrific accounts of mass graves, massacres, and burned out homes. And they had photos of bodies in big mass graves. Many, many. Over in America, on the Okias University in Oakland, California, on the university lawn lay 7 dead bodies. One by one, they were brought out and set in a neat line. Some hodgepodge, t- Tarpaulins hid their bloody wounds and drained faces from the helicopters that beat over them. The shooter was arrested at a shopping mall nearby. He told police he'd been planning the murders for several weeks. He had bought a shotgun perfectly legally and carried it to the campus intending to kill people. Nearer to home, a couple of clips there. The Bridge Corp directors are likely to face tough jail terms for defrauding investors, and rightly so. And a cheerleader is arrested and facing sex charges because of his improper relationship with young teenage girls. And that is the world that we live in. And that is the world that Jesus was a part of. That was the world that Jesus came to. That was the world that Jesus died on the cross because of the evil that he encountered. Why is the world like it? Why is it full of crime and sin? And don't deny there is crime and sin in the world. It is painfully evident to those who would look. Well, we know from Scripture it's because of the devil and his forces and their commitment to evil and to destroying God's creation. Jesus himself talks about the extent that the devil goes to protect his own when he refers to him as a strong man in Luke 11 verses 21 through to 22. He said, when a strong man, Satan, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. This prince of the world, this Beelzebub, this Satan, the devil, the evil one, guards his own house very, very carefully. He is the strong man guarding his palace. But Jesus, even then, is sending out signals of warning to the strong man and warnings of comfort to believers. He says, but when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoil. So the world is like it is because the strong man is protecting his palace. Ephesians 6:12 brings it out in fairly stark contrast when it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And the reason the world is the way it is because of the evil one. At the time of Jesus, there was only wee, tiny, little, insignificant Israel standing out in a world dominated by the devil. The nations all around were worshipping other gods, were committed to other gods. They weren't committed to the God of Israel. And we know from Genesis 1 that when God created the world, it was good and perfect. And sometime between there and Genesis chapter 3, where the serpent came in and deceived man, and it said in 2 Peter 2, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. That the angels, these evil angels, turned against God. We believe from Isaiah that Satan, a most beautiful angel, a most powerful angel, became full of pride and wanted to set himself up beside God, to be equal with God. And he was kicked out, as it says here in 2 Peter 2:4, where the angels weren't spared. The power of the devil is tremendous. And I guess this is obvious, that there's not one human being born in the world who has not been defeated by the devil. Not one. How many millions, billions of people have there been? Not one stands up against the power of evil that is so great. We consider Abraham, the patriarchs, David, of whom it said, a man after my own heart. And yet he cannot stand. He's condemned as an adulterer and a murderer. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and right spirit. David begging for forgiveness because of his wickedness. And he was a great king of Israel. But every one of them has sinned. Adam, in his perfection, fell to the forces of evil. No one has been able to stand against him. Romans 3, verses 10 and 23, it says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We say that quite glibly because a number of us are quite familiar with these passages. But when we think of them, there is not one who has not been defeated by Satan. He dominates the mind, the will, and the whole of life. He produces fear in those who don't know Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:14 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. This is Jesus. So that by his death, the death we've read about here this morning, by his death, that death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That's where we're heading today. That is the devil. By his death, he conquered the devil. And free for those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So mankind is trapped by this powerful man who's protecting his palace. He's protecting these people, us, who are kept in fear of death. And we read a little bit about Jesus' life, about how he went about and turned water into wine, his miracles, and here is an innocent man. But right from day one, from his birth, he was confronting evil all the way through to his death. Satan knew that something here was a threat. Here was a strong man that could break down his palace and set the captives free. Day one, we read about the three wise men going to King Herod and saying, where is the way? We're looking for this king that has been born. And Herod immediately determines in his heart, I will destroy this usurper of my power. Satanic wickedness and evil was come upon Herod to do that. And he killed all these innocent children in the town where Jesus was born. Jesus had been warned, or his parents had been warned, and they were on their way down to Egypt. And the innocents were killed. Evil right from day one. The 40 days in the wilderness, the confrontation between Jesus suffering in his humanity and the confrontation with the devil. We see it quite blatantly in demon-possessed people. We see it in sickness and evil and illness and the ravages of sin and evil. Jesus fighting a battle against evil to release people from sin's foul bondage. We see it dramatically in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. Why? Because he knows that soon he is going to be confronting evil. He knows that soon the Father will turn his face away from him. He knows that he will have borne upon him the fury of God against sin and against evil. And he would bear that and take that himself. This is not the story of a good man and great injustice against a good man. This is far greater than that. This is a spiritual battle in cosmic places that is going on. And our Lord came into this world for that purpose, to rid us from the tyranny and the power of the devil. And it was on the cross. The cross where Satan thought his moment of greatest triumph was about to come about was actually the moment of his greatest humility. So as Christians, we call the Friday the Good Friday, not a bad Friday. John 12, 31 and 33 says, "Now is the time, the judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up, when I have those nails driven through here, through my feet, when I be lifted up," Jesus said, "from the earth, will draw all men to himself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. In his death, Jesus is going to defeat the prince of this world. That is the amazing story of the cross. For the forces of darkness, they're closing in on the greatest event in history, no doubt with much glee and excitement, thinking here is a great victory, but in fact was a terrible miscalculation. Colossians 2:15 says, "And Jesus, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." The forces of darkness, the evil one, the devil's great blunder, occurred at Calvary, where Jesus was taken to the place called the skull and crucified there on the cross, where he thought he was defeating Christ, but Christ was reconciling you and me to God, defeating the devil and delivering us out of his clutches. What a fool the devil was. How ignorant, how blinded, how puffed up. Typical of his actions. The one who controlled the nations of the world was defeated at the cross. So indeed, Friday is Good Friday. Well, unless you're the devil, and it was Bad Friday. Romans 5:8, just in conclusion. "But God demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We don't have time this morning, unfortunately, to go into the resurrection of Christ's body being raised from the dead. Ephesians 1 talks about this great power that was exerted, greatest power on earth, that rose Jesus from the dead. And we'd love to continue that great victory. Maybe Graham will wait till Ephesians 1 to pick up on that. "But God demonstrated his own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That is the good news. That is the good news of Good Friday, that Christ died for us, for our sins. And a victory, a great victory, was brought about. Now you may be in a position of saying, "Well, is this me? Has this victory been for me?" Jesus said in John's Gospel again, John 1:12, he said, "Yet to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Colossians says again, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loved." By this event at Calvary, where Jesus took the penalty for our sins, we who believe in Jesus Christ, "Yet to all who received him, who believed in Jesus Christ, we can pass from the force of darkness into the forces of light, into the kingdom of God, become a child of God." I would urge you today, if you're uncertain, if you're not sure that you are part of God's children, one of God's children, I would urge you to either speak to one of us or to read your Bible and consider it. Consider this claim. If you believe in me, believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that you will be saved. And like the thief on the cross, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus, and I don't know how he could do this, just caught up with the abuse and the pathos, the agony, people he respected at abandoning him, rulers abusing him, soldiers mocking him. In the middle of that, he said to this dear, dear saint, this prisoner who is rightly crucified, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. That word, those words can be true today of anyone here today. Today you will be with me in paradise. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for this amazing defeat of Satan. Lord, as we consider how you went to the cross so willingly, knowing that you were dying and taking upon you the fury and wrath of your heavenly Father, you did it for our sakes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we would believe in him, he would give us eternal life. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you that you died for us. We thank you that the story of the cross was a far greater story than just the suffering of a man being abused and dying on a cross. But it was in fact a huge victory. The most momentous event in all of history occurred on the cross at Calvary. We thank you for your amazing wisdom, your amazing event here. We pray you bless it to our hearts now, and as we celebrate and taking communion shortly, Lord, we pray you be with us and that we might glorify you for your wonder and the amazing things that you've done on our behalf. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.